helping students and healthcare professionals not just survive, but thrive with a purpose. This is the CMDA Student Pulse Podcast with your host, Bill Reichart, National Director of CMDA Campus Ministries.
Welcome to another episode of CMDA's Student Pulse Podcast. I'm Bill Reichert, National Director of Campus and Community Ministries here at CMDA. And our guest today is Ben Watt. Ben is a fourth-year student at Penn State Hershey and is a family medicine soon-to-be resident. And we have the privilege of speaking with him today and hearing more about his story, his work with CMDA, and how he walks with God in the middle of the challenges that are set before him as a medical student. Well, Ben, it's great to have you on our first video CMDA Student Pulse Podcast. Thanks for being here.
It's a real honor to be here.
Well, you know, one of the things that we like to do on this podcast, we certainly like to talk to a lot of knowledge experts, but we also like to talk to students. And you're a student. What year are you in med school?
I'm in my last year of medical school, so I'll be graduating in the spring.
Okay. Well, we'd like to hear stories. We'd like to hear your story, Ben. We'd like to hear your journey. What motivated you to go to medicine? What are the things that you have integrated into your life that keep you going, help you stay resilient? Just a vision for the future and what you see God's call upon your life as you move forward through this journey. And so just giving you an opportunity to share your story. This is your story, and I trust a lot of folks are going to be encouraged by what they hear. Let me ask you this. So your fourth year. What medical school right now?
I go to Penn State College of Medicine at the main campus in Chocolate Town, Hershey, Pennsylvania.
Chocolate Town, Hershey. I love Hershey. You can get those, get that Hershey Park and the chocolate factory tour and all that stuff. But you're doing more than eating chocolate. You're studying and you're working hard. What got you interested in healthcare and medicine in the first place? Were your parents in healthcare?
No, they're not. I got interested in healthcare because of my parents encouraging me to consider it. I'll kind of start with born and raised here. So I was born and raised in Western Pennsylvania in a family that we did school at home. We had a business out of our home. My parents started business selling and installing generators, electric generators, which works really well with the last name Watt. Some people think Watt, power, electricity. So you might say my destiny might have been to do electrical work, but yeah. My interests were really in academics and in understanding how things work. And I was interested in the sciences, writing, all kinds of things. My mother said, you know, why don't you shadow a primary care doctor? And my dad said, you know, maybe we can get you volunteering in the local hospital. So I explored that and I found a vision for what I could be doing as a profession.
Now, hearing your story in advance a little bit, more than just the academics, right, Ben? I mean, it's there's some health issues, maybe now for you early on, but then for your sister, did that have any cause to you to consider medicine, having gone through that journey with your family?
Yeah, I think for a lot of medical students I've met, including for myself, family health issues have been a motivator and something that has been a sustainer along the journey through school. So in my case, my sister has struggled for many years with chronic illness. She's been treated for Lyme disease and other chronic infection. And she's had a lot of, you know, journey with her function, daily function, her mood, her lifestyle to get through that. And it's kind of puzzling over that, some of the things that have helped her, some of the things that still remain, you know, unexplained.
Yeah.
That has been something that sustained me as I've gotten through school, I think, odd to say, but just something that's maintained my interest and helped me to realize that there is a need to be excellent in the profession of caring for other people, body and soul.
So. Okay. Now, were you raised in the church growing up?
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah.
So you had that faith background. You come to medical school in Hershey, and did you find CMDA initially? Was that something you were even looking for? Did you even know CMDA existed?
I did. So actually, I knew CMDA existed before I decided that Penn State was a school where I'd be going. I saw that there was a website for the CMDA chapter at the school in Hershey, and I reached out to them, and I thought this would be a really good place for me to be supported and to grow.
Well, that's good to hear. For those of you who work on our CMDA websites, know that it's guys like Ben who are finding CMDA. And I joke because some of the people in the next room do just that, Ben. They help with our digital properties. And so it's real important for students to be able to discover us, kind of kick the tires, figure out that we exist. And a lot of times it comes through a Google search, you know, just finding out, you know, is there a Christian healthcare or medical group on a particular campus? So you found us, you discovered us in advance. Was it easy to get connected with CMDA? Was that something that was easy to find, easy to connect into?
Yeah, I emailed Maya through the website. She was the president of the chapter at the time, and she emailed back and, you know, told me about how they would be getting together in the summer when we all arrived and feeding us, and, you know, not only with the word, but also with plenty of rice and
Chick-fil-A,
you know, and other, you know,
chocolate.
They were making, so, good.
Yeah. Do you have any doctors really plugged into the CMDA chapter? Because it's more than just students at times, isn't it? You've got some professionals, mentors.
Yeah. We're privileged to have a couple physicians locally who are pretty involved with the chapter.
Okay.
One in particular who serves as our advisor.
Okay. Any in particular become a mentor to you while you were there?
Yeah, certainly. Particularly through my church, actually.
Okay.
I was in a small group that was led by a physician who worked at Hershey at the time.
Jack Tsai, right? Is it Jack?
Actually, Michael Chen.
Oh, Michael.
Is the doctor I'm thinking of. But he was a wonderful encouragement and challenge to think through what our role is as Christians working in healthcare, what our role is with our neighbors in a profession where we have contact with people from all kinds of folks around us. To serve the poor. So I think his perspective, mentoring, that was influential for me being where I'm at now. So.
Yeah. Because I imagine, I mean, you're a Christian who goes into healthcare, goes into medicine. Had you thought much about the integration of those two things, how your faith was going to bear witness to the practice of medicine or medicine bear witness to your faith? Did you think much before CMDA about how those two things might integrate? Or was that something new?
I did think about it. I did think about it. I mean, I remember even just from the first days I volunteered at the hospital, I felt a little bothered by some of the depersonalization that I saw, like, with care of patients. And I didn't feel like it was always the compassionate care that I envisioned idealistically. And then through college, thinking about some of the bioethics. But CMDA really provided an articulation of those things and other people to talk about them with.
Yeah.
So
you become involved in CMDA, you got involved in a local church, which is all key. I mean, these are important disciplines to start integrating into your life. Although I mean, you were going to church before med school, but what we often see, maybe did you see this a lot, a student struggle with their faith. I mean, trying to, you know, with the busyness of school, struggle with how do I keep a vibrant, active walk with the Lord in the middle of this tremendous workload and busyness. Did you see students struggle with it? Did you struggle with it? Do you struggle with it?
I did. I did struggle with it. I struggled with the daily Christian disciplines of meditation and prayer and of finding joy in the Lord and trusting His promises. It's not easy every day.
Yeah.
Not usually what's affirmed by everyone else around me.
Yeah. So. Except it probably was then a community like CMDA, your local church, that did affirm that.
Precisely. Yeah.
Yeah. Right. That's exactly right.
It was my community on campus that was having, like, the Friday afternoon prayer over lunchtime.
Right.
Or, you know, Monday night Bible studies or through church or shepherd group meetings. So.
Mm-hmm. Fantastic. So you were involved, but you weren't just receiving, you were giving. You became a leader. What decided that for you? Why did you decide to, or why were you interested in being a leader within CMDA?
It just kind of crept up on me. So, like, you know, you're at an event and they need people to help tear down the tables or stack the cups or whatever and see a need, and you do it because it's something that matters to you. And then the time comes for the people who are leading to graduate or to go to the next year of medical school and do other things.
Mm-hmm.
And they ask you to apply. And every year it's amazing to see people step up and take on those roles and serve in those ways. So. That's happened to me.
Well, I'm thankful for you, Ben, for taking the initiative to do that and to step into a role of leadership. I mean, it's students paying that forward as they become involved, and they can give leadership and helping those who are coming behind them to get connected and involved. And then, you know, our ministries on campuses are student-led. I mean, we have you have advisors, you know, we may have some staff, we have other folks that can contribute and coach, but ultimately it's students like yourself that are giving leadership. It's a student-led ministry. So thanks for what you have done and continue to do. Now, you said your fourth year, so you've gone now beyond the didactic years. You're in your clinical time. I mean, has that been more of a challenge, trying to stay connected in your faith, stay connected with community in these clinical years?
You'd think so. I feel like it's been an advantage to have roots now and to know people. And now I'm starting to reflect with people like, I'm going to miss y'all when I, you know, graduate and move. Certainly in my third year, I think that was emotionally and physically the toughest year, just one rotation after the other, all, you know, high expectations and finding a place in new teams every week or two. I struggled with that. I think I definitely had the blues for some time, but I was faithful with, you know, Sunday is the day of rest, and that's my day to be in community with the church, even if I can't make it to whatever my campus group is doing during the week.
Yeah. Yeah, I think those disciplines you made and the decisions you made early on carry with you. And, you know, and life doesn't get, you know, we think, well, I'll go to church or I'll set this time aside if, when it comes, or when life becomes easier. But it often doesn't. It gets more complicated, as you've discovered. And so you made those decisions early on, and that's carrying you forward. And that's what's keeping you connected. And that's fantastic that you are still feeling that community, even because, you know, these clinical years can be tough for certain folks. They travel a lot. They're away from their home. You've stayed within the Pennsylvania area, so you still sound like you've got some rootedness, some connections and community there. You're now in Harrisburg doing some work with Paxton Street. That's part of one of your rotations, correct, right now?
So it's kind of something I found through rotation. Okay. I was on a psychiatry rotation, and one of the social workers was talking about, oh, you know, Paxton Street Ministry is awesome ministry. I'd never heard of them before, but I was kind of looking for something as the world, you know, thawed out from the pandemic to be part of God's kingdom in my community. Yeah. So yeah, I'm actually there now.
A little swag, a little promo. Fantastic. Right. Yeah. Now, it sounds like a great, great work in ministry. Is this related to some, how you see your vision for yourself in medicine moving forward? I mean, now your fourth year, you've kind of decided on your specialty, which is
family medicine.
Right. Was there anything that convinced you that family medicine is where you needed to be?
It was a fit for me. I saw a fit within it for my vision for working in the medical profession.
What is that vision, Ben?
It's to practice excellent whole person care medicine for people and families across generations.
Explain that too, whole person. Yeah. Not everybody may understand that. When you say whole person, what are you talking about there?
So it's not just care of disease, not just risk factor management. Mm. It's care of the embodied soul that we encounter, the, you know, eternal person that we meet in the ordinary 15-minute clinic visit. My dream is to, you know, have the stamina to care about people as the image of God. You know, people who have complex stories that I am not going to know in 15 minutes, but that I can respect and appreciate and be partners with over a long time.
Are you looking for particular kinds of things in the future moving forward into your residency program?
Absolutely, yeah. I'm looking for a training that will equip me to move ahead with that vision I articulated. So, and I want to be able to live out that vision while I'm in training and start, you know, that whole person care, care for people spiritually, care that starts to become longitudinal and to know them over a course of time to make a difference together. So I'm looking for that in programs to put a priority on caring for the patient in that way and encouraging residents to develop not just professionally, personally, but also even spiritually in their call.
Yeah. Now you've connected a bit with, I think over the years, CCHF, right? During your training years.
I have. Yeah.
Yeah. How is that? Maybe explain a little bit to those who may not know what CCHF is and maybe how it's kind of inspired you in terms of your vision for the future.
So the Christian Community Health Fellowship is a network of health professionals and learners who really seek to do what's in the name, to be in communities, practicing healthcare is a calling to serve the Lord. And I've been privileged to connect with that fellowship mostly virtually. Okay. The director, Steve Noblett, came to my campus in early 2020 and gave a talk on a Saturday morning. Some of us went to, and it was really moving as he told the story of their organization, his story personally, and their vision. And so I've learned things I didn't know about organizations, clinics across the country that mm-hmm. are doing some bold things mm-hmm. in their communities, people moving into neighborhoods, serving them, getting to know the people there as people. Mm. And seeing the Lord really work, I think, through their work for people to become healthier and have safer pregnancies, have more access to healthcare. It's wonderful.
Yeah, it's a wonderful network of FQHCs that are operating all throughout the country. And some of these residency programs are particularly special because, like you said, they're bringing together not just the medical training, the residency, but they're also the incarnational approach of living among those whom they're serving, the spiritual communities, the formation that happens as people are gathering among one another. And for some, it becomes even a training spot for overseas cross-cultural ministries and going into creative access countries, and it's a stepping stone for some, but not always. And it can be an investment for a lifetime of investing in underserved communities here in the United States. So it's a great organization, a great network.
Yeah.
So we certainly need to pray for you. Obviously, you're in the middle of residency interviews because I know that because you stopped by my house to stay at my Airbnb. That's right, as you were heading back from some interviews. So I know you're trusting the Lord to direct your steps for the next thing. Kind of looking back as you look at these 4 years, because, again, most of the listeners viewers of the podcast, are in somewhere in their training years. But looking back, maybe having the privilege of hindsight, speak to fellow students. Are there some things that you wish you would have done that you'd encourage them to do? Maybe some regrets, things like, I wish I'd taken advantage of this more, or I'd engaged more in this way, or maybe some things that you've seen of real benefit in your walk with the Lord that you would exhort and encourage our student watchers and listeners?
Sure, yes. That's a great question that I've been reflecting on recently, because a lot of people have asked it in one way or another. And I think I'd start by saying, I wish that I received every day as the gift that it is, the opportunity for grace in that present moment, not only as the trial to be endured or, the lesson to be learned, but as a day to be lived. I don't think living happens automatically. I think it's easy for me to enter into a habit of just surviving. So having times of rest has been powerful for me in being able to think about living, about choosing to pursue friendships, to reach out to classmates, both believers and those who I think the Lord is calling to him. So my advice, and I think reflection I have for every day, is to live it better, to live it in prayer to the Lord, always with thanksgiving, presenting our requests to the Lord, and to seek his kingdom first.
That's great.
Yeah.
That's a tremendous encouragement. Well, I'm excited that the Lord's called you to medical school, that there are going to be physicians like yourself out there serving others. And, as someone non-medical, I'm never a physician. I'm always a patient. And it's always a blessing when a physician cares about you and may pray for you, pray for me. I'm excited about what the Lord's going to be doing in your life. Let me ask you this. This is maybe an aside, because you sound like you've connected well in your faith. You're looking at maybe some faith-based even residency programs. But have you found any unique challenges being a Christian within medicine? Because I think what we're also discovering, Ben, is that there's strong currents culturally that aren't necessarily welcoming and inviting to people of faith. And it can be hard to be a Christian and live out your faith in the context of healthcare and medicine. So have you discovered any of that in your own classes? And if so, how have you been able to address that?
I've discovered some. I think most people should expect some. I have friends who've, I think, discovered more, where they feel that revealing their Christian identity or some of the implications of what they think mm-hmm. about political issues would be detrimental to them in not only the eyes of their classmates, but also people who are evaluating them. I haven't had so much of that, but I've become aware of kind of an attitude of fear in my own mind mm-hmm. that I need to live underground. I was just looking at a book my brother gave me from a leader in the Chinese house church movement, and he was writing about how their call is to be bold and to tell other people of the love of Christ. Mm. And I've caught myself a lot of times thinking, like, I can't show that I'm a Christian, or I can't allude to my church or to God's work in my life here that's going to make other people uncomfortable, or just thinking myself that, you know, I'm not wanted, or like that voice isn't wanted. But that's, I think, one of the main challenges we have as Christians in healthcare is to remember that God has us where we are for a reason. We may be like Daniel's in Babylon. We may like, I don't know. We may be very welcome in our settings, but we need to remember where we're at for a reason.
Mm. Amen. Amen. And you cannot go through the training that you've gone through and endure the things you've endured because you think this would be something nice to do. It's usually because of a calling, a very deep-seated calling, sense that God needs me to be here. I am called to be here. God wants me here. And I think you're right. You have to hang on to that sense of calling. So, well, I am excited that God's called you again into this profession, this vocation. And I'm excited to see how God is going to continue to unravel his plans for you. I mean, the cool thing about CMDA, and this is a shameless plug, but is that, you know, you started with CMDA as, you know, a student, of course, and many do, but it doesn't just end there. It goes in through residency. You're going to connect through CMDA residency, albeit you'll be much busier and maybe the time will be a little more limited, but there are connection, there are touch points with CMDA, getting into your professional career in your life. The same is true. You know, it's exciting to watch people be a part of this community for a lifetime, really. And so glad to have you a part of this community, Ben. Thanks for sharing your story and kind of jumpstarting our video podcast piece of the CMDA Student Life Podcast, because we've been going strong for many years, but we're starting to do the video. And I think this adds a unique opportunity because people hear voices, they hear the stories, but they get to see you as well. And I know we're going to have a chance to, in the show notes, to be able to put some information about you. If people want to reach out to you, learn more about you. I know you've got a website. You do some writing. I've read some of your writing. I think you're a very reflective thinker. You think, I think, by writing. Maybe I'm wrong when I say that, but I noticed that about
you. Well
said. Yeah. Anyway, so we'll put that in the show notes and people can reach out to you if they have any questions, they want to connect, learn more about what you're doing. And so, again, Ben, thank you so much.
Thank you. This is an awesome ministry. And thank you for making me part of it in this way. So, to all the other students out there, God bless you.
Thanks for watching. We'll see you next time. CMDA's Student Pulse podcast is a production of the Christian Medical and Dental Associations. The opinions expressed by guests on this podcast are not necessarily endorsed by the organization. CMDA is non-partisan and does not endorse political parties or candidates for public office. The views expressed on Student Pulse podcast reflect judgments regarding principles and values held by CMDA and its members.